Well, you've been sitting for a little while. I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but let's just ask that you stand for the reading of God's holy word today. Can we do that? From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and verses 27 through 38, it says that Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Would you pray with me, church? Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word to us this day. We pray and ask now that you'd pour out a special anointing upon that word, upon all those who heard it, all those who received it, and through that receiving, may we be transformed from the inside out, so all the world will take notice, and glory will be given unto you. Thank you, Father. And Heavenly Father, if it would please you to please help us to preach today, we would greatly appreciate that as well. All this we ask and pray in Jesus' holy name. And all of God's children said, amen, amen. I was going to ask you, how many, you know what these are? Flip-flops, sandals. How many kids, did you see our acolytes today? Did you notice what they were wearing? Right here. I was trying to remember how old I was when I got my first pair of flip-flops. How many of you have these things? Do you have them? Yeah. How many of you have them on today? Go ahead, Darla, you can raise your hand. She's wearing them too. You know, that's okay. You know, when they first came out, I remember. I don't remember for sure when they came out, and I didn't look it up on the internet or anything like that. But I know I was a teenager. In fact, young teenage, maybe just 12. But they've been around a long time, haven't they? And the first, these feet need more sun. But you know, when they were first invented, the purpose of them was to wear them to the bath, you know, and the bathroom, you know, and you had your robe on, you know, and walking around just so you wouldn't maybe stub your toe or hurt your foot stepping on something. Or for the beach, you know, wearing them at the beach. And it can be liberating. Lord, please don't let anyone in the first 3-4 rows pass out. Okay, it's okay. Trust, they were scrubbed this morning, so they should be good. All right. Anyway, the flip-flops. And, you know, you have to, when you walk with these things, you know, you have to kind of, there's a type of walk, you know. You just can't walk like you have shoes on, because if you step with your heel first, what happens? They come off, right? They come off. So anyway, yeah, you have to learn to walk in these things a special way. And so you just learn that, and you just kind of slip and slide a little bit, you know, and doing that, you slip sliding and like that. I don't know how you play the organ with these things on, but anyway, she does a great job, huh? And anyway, flip-flops. And I, as I was reading the scripture today, you know, in Mark, in chapter 8 here, it's talking about Peter, right? And Peter is one of the main characters, besides Jesus, in Mark's gospel. Peter, the focus is kind of on him, isn't it? And his name is mentioned several times, and he's doing some things here. And one of the things that he's doing, I'll let you know right now, is he's flip-flopping. Flip-flopping. Because the first thing that's mentioned there, Jesus is asking them, they're around Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them, he says, who do the people say that I am? You know, and they're saying, oh, you're John the Baptist, you know, back from the dead, you know, your head's restored and all that. You know, you're one of the prophets. You're Elijah, you know, great prophet, you know. And other, a teacher, a great teacher, and all this. And Jesus says, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And it's Peter, okay, who says, you are the Messiah. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 17, right? Now, what I shared this morning? Don't make me look at my notes now. That's it. Okay. In Matthew 16, verse 17, Jesus says words to the effect, okay, it was not flesh and blood who told you this information, but it was my Father in heaven that gave you. So here's Peter, and he's having this divine revelation. It's come to him. Here's God, the Lord God Almighty, and he puts this into Peter, into his heart and into his brain, and Jesus is the one. The one prophesied about for hundreds of years. Here he is, God in the flesh. And Peter makes this proclamation. And that's in verse 29. 4 verses later, in verse 33, Jesus is rebuking Peter. It's all in the same setting. He's doing these teachings. He turns and he rebukes Peter because Peter, now not filled with the divine, but now he's filled with Satan. He's full of the devil. He's worldly concerns with worldly matters rather than the kingdom of God. He's now reverting back and he says, surely not, Jesus, you can't die, because if you die, what are we going to do? Who will we follow? You can't die, because with you here with us, we are somebody. If you leave, we're just fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, other sinners. We're nobody. You can't leave. Jesus rebukes him. What Peter did in that, right there, fully divine, now he's thinking human, influenced by the devil. He's flip-flopping, isn't he? That's another definition of flip-flop. Not just these things, okay? He's flip-flopping in his faith. At first, he's fully trusting Jesus, and in the next moment, almost literally the next moment, forgot all about the kingdom. Forgot all about that divinity. All the promises. Now he's thinking about himself. Jesus, you can't leave. Don't talk like that. Flip-flopping. Any of you ever flip-flop like that? Wrestle in your faith. And at first, you're here in church today, and we're all praising and worshiping God and everything. And then maybe we'll leave church and get in our cars and we'll go out. And in this beautiful town with this loving community of Reimersburg, somebody will run a stop sign or something, cut us off, and whew, worldly. Okay, it ever happened to you? Yeah, it's happened to me. Surely it's happened to you. Okay. Flip-flopping. Man. And we get accustomed to that. That's the problem. We get used to it. And we learn to slip and slide going back and forth. Okay? Slip and slide. And we get comfortable. Just, it's okay. We'll do that. We can go to church next week. We'll clean up our act. It'll be okay. Yet it's not okay. Because Jesus follows with another part. And you know, if you've ever done that, before I get into that, I just wanted to share, if you've ever flip-flopped in your faith, you're in very good company. Because who's Peter? He's the one Jesus told, hey, when you come to your senses, regain all your brothers, because I'm praying for you. Okay? He said, go and start my church. Get it going. Hold it together. Pray. Trust me. And Peter does. And he did a pretty good job, don't you think? Because if he didn't, we wouldn't be here today. And the Gospel writer Mark. You know, before he wrote that gospel about Jesus, he was on missionary trips. And even Paul would say the words, you're not worthy. You went back. Don't ask to come again. We flip-flop. But Jesus gives a solution. He gives a solution. And he says something about, take up your cross and follow me. Now, to put that in perspective, we have to think about what Jesus had done. You know, on his way to the cross, you know, in the 3.5 years of ministry he had, when he first started out, who attacked him in the desert, in that lonely place? For 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus, back and forth. And all the way through, even to the end, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's kneeling there on a rock, okay? There. And it says in another gospel that he's so intense in his prayer and wrestling with the things of the world, he doesn't want to go to the cross. That hurts. He doesn't want to give up his life. He's got a good thing going here. He's got thousands of followers. The people love him. And to be beaten within an inch of his life and then nailed to a cross? Father, there's got to be another way. That's the enemy talking to him saying, there's another way. You see? And he's like back and forth. And finally, Jesus in his resolve says, not my will but yours be done. And that's what he says we need to do too. We also, when we are going back and forth, the solution for that and to break that habit is to keep our eyes on the cross. Because that cross represents resurrection. There is a life eternal that is not influenced by the enemy. Where it's all about God. And if we can learn to keep our focus on Jesus and the cross, we'll stop slipping and sliding, shucking and jiving, and we'll walk the straight and narrow, just like Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you talk to us so much about doing what's right. Sometimes we wrestle with that. As human beings, we encounter all kinds of things. Sometimes those things are good, sometimes they're not. We pray and ask for more of your Holy Spirit to help us to do the right thing, to help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us to keep our eyes on the cross, the end story. May you be glorified as we do exactly that. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.